The epistle appointed to be read for this, the fourth Sunday in Advent, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here is it required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience, yet I am not thereby justified. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then everyone will have his praise from God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of the district of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there is nothing in the normal announcements of the bulletin that I need to bring to your attention this morning, but I will mention a couple of items concerning Midnight Mass coming up. We simply cannot have confessions before Midnight Mass. There is so much that has to be worried about that we cannot get to confessions before Midnight Mass. And another thing that I bring to your attention is this, that if you go to communion at Midnight Mass and have reason to come back to the 10 o'clock Mass on Christmas Day, you may not receive communion again. You can only receive communion one time in the course of the day, of the 24-hour period of time. Well, we have final days before the birth of Christ. I am not going to preach this morning, just bring to your attention that during these final days that we do strive to get into the spirit of the coming of Christ. As you know, our attitude toward preparation for Christmas, it's legitimate and should be adhered to. But of course, remembering always that the center point, the center figure, the center scene, the center thought of these days is Christ. So let us prepare ourselves as by almost a novena in preparation for this awesome event, the central point in the history of mankind. So let us prepare ourselves by prayer and proper fasting or whatever, and penance and reparation during these days. This morning after Mass, we will have the blessing of the bread. Now, my beloved people, I do not want us to go with the impression that this is just another thing to be done that would keep us occupied or whatever. But let us rather look upon this as something very holy and very apropos and very fitting to the season. There are things to do that we, if we live the Catholic life, if we live the religious life, in these our days of complete trouble, of total trouble and disruption, we've got to find something to do, bring back something that will bring blessing to our household, blessing to our family. The blessing of this bread begins in this house. And we take this blessed bread from this house and bring it to your house. And that the blessing goes with it. There are those who unfortunately and mistakenly think, they say, oh, all I care for is the Mass. Well, if after the Mass, that's all I'm interested in. Well, some people, I tell you, that may or may not be right. You know, there are those who say that faith without good works is sufficient. And we will also say that Mass, Holy Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, without spiritual living at home, you know, it all goes together. Absolutely. Don't misunderstand me. It all goes together. We've said before in this room many times that the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is not an absolute passport to heaven. There are other things that have to go along with it. So, I want us to look at all of these little ceremonies that come around and about during the course of the year as sacred things, as holy things, as things to keep our family circle alive with the mystery of Almighty God. The mystery belongs in the church. It goes home with us. It is ever so devastating. You have no idea. You cannot possibly have an idea as we do, because you do not get the telephone calls from all over the country. Hungry people, starving people, people who simply do not have the mysteries of their holy religion in their household. There's nothing that can be done about that. And if nothing else, you, by your prayer, by your understanding, and by your spirit of sacrifice, without them even knowing about it, you and we, of course, supply for them with your prayer. Give them your prayer. Give them your opportunity to be here. They can't be here. They can't be any place. They're at home. Give them the security of what you believe in, of what you hope in and what you adore. Give them some of that by here kneeling in the silence of your heart and give it to them so that they will have some blessing this Christmas, some holiness in their household this Christmas, which otherwise they have no inkling of it. They're nowhere near it. It is not a matter of knowing the incidental things of our religion. It's a matter of living our religion, living it every day of our lives. You come here, you get this blessing, carry it home. It's nothing light, nothing. It puts the place of the man where he belongs. He is the patriarch, he is the leader, he is the ruler in the household. And so he is the blessed one who blesses together with the priest. And he is the one who distributes the bread to the members of his household, sitting at the head of his table. These are awesome days, my beloved people. and they require awesome directions. So may God bless you, may God protect you, may God protect those you love most, and give to your children the example of what a good, holy, absolutely solid religious family is like. The kids today, if I may use an expression, the kids today do not have an inkling, they do not have a clue as to what a holy religious family is supposed to be like. For goodness sake, give your children the best. It's not a matter of frivolously giving little odds and ends and things to keep people entertained. The religion is serious. You have got to give them the seriousness of it so they grow up with it and keep it and hold it fast. My precious, dear, beloved people, we have every reason to be hopeful. Let us be hopeful. Let's not be afraid, but with strong hand, go about it and do your work. And God will place blessing upon you and upon us. After all, that's what we want. We pray. I pray now. I tell you now, you are so special to us. We want you and we bless you. We give you the best of this season. May you be blessed with it. Please, Neil, I will give you my blessing for your Christmas season.